All right, we've been using Philippians chapter 3 and verses 15 through 21, sort of our launching verse here. We've been talking about the topic, people the church could do without. And obviously, we need every person, and we want to have every person that the Lord will give us. But these are basically just attitudes and actions that we need to be careful with in our own lives, and certainly the church can do without these particular things. People the church could do without. Our main thought here, just look down at verses 17, 18, and 19. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." Paul's talked about, "Follow me as I also follow Christ," as he said to the Corinthians. "Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." So he's explaining what he means by following him. Follow, as he said here, brethren, be followers together of me. In other words, as I'm trying to be an example to you, what a good Christian ought to be. That's a good thought. Everybody here ought to desire to be a good example to everybody else. What Christ is in our lives. And so that's what he's saying to them here. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind the earthly things. That's just the opposite of what he is trying to do. So, people the church can do that. I don't go all the way through everything said. I've done it a couple times now. But number one, the sinful life. You remember that we talked about that, because the fact is that people look at us and judge Christ, because we are God's example. What the church ought to be, what Christ ought to be. No one here has seen Jesus Christ with these human eyes. But people ought to be able to see Christ, so to speak, with the human eyes, by seeing us wanting to live our lives as Christ tells us to in His Word. How do I know about Jesus Christ? It's the Bible, right? So, because how many unsaved people out there in the world are reading the Bible? Very few. Very few. Yeah. Probably close to none, but certainly very few, if any. And if they have or do, it probably doesn't last long, because they just don't understand it, because you have to have the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God. And and so, then how are they going to know Christ? How are they going to see Him? Well, we're going to read the Word. We're going to adjust our lives to the Word of God, and then people are going to see us, and therefore see Jesus Christ in us. That's what it means to be a Christian, or Christ-like. And hopefully, that will draw them to Christ. They have a problem, they might come see you. Why? Because it seems like you got, they say, their thing, seems like you got your life together. Now, you may have problems and difficulties, but you're taking it to the Lord. It looks to them like you're handling these things and so forth. In other words, people need the Lord, they'll see the Lord, and they sin in us who know the Word, adjust our lives to the Word. In other words, we become more like Christ. If we live a sinful life or a life outside of God's will, then people are going to, again, look at us and maybe judge wrongly about the church, judge wrongly about Christ. You know, we've all heard that. Well, that so-and-so, they say they're a Christian. Well, that so-and-so, they go to church all the time. And, oh, man, they're just mean and ornery, and they said terrible things. They treat them here. In other words, somebody, instead of drawing people to Christ, which is the idea in our lives, they're pushing them away from Christ. And so, obviously, the church could do without that type of attitude, action, in our lives. So we talked about that, went through a number of things concerning that. Number two, another type of person or attitude or action that the church could do without is those who strive for highest position. I don't know if you've been in a church where it's like people are arguing who's going to get to do what and who's going to be this or that in the church and so forth. So I don't know that I've ever been there. I've heard about it. I've had people talk about it. I've had preachers talk about a problem in a church where this guy, this deacon wants to, you know, and on and on and on, different things going on. Preachers that got the idea that they're the dictator instead of what God wants you to be, and that's a servant. And so I've always, a young preacher, I've always told him, listen, you want to be a good pastor, you want to be a person that others will follow, then serve them. Be a servant to your people. Is there something they need, something can be a help to, if you can, meet that need. If you can't, maybe you can find somebody that can. But serve your people. They'll follow you when you serve them. By the way, that is true all through life. I've held jobs as supervisors and so forth. And guess what? If I serve my employees, those that's under me, they have a tendency to want to do the job right and follow me. So let's just use that principle. Be a servant as the Lord would have us to be. Jesus said, he that would be greatest of all, let him be servant of all. That pretty much sums that up right there in Mark 9 and verse 35. So don't strive for the highest position. You remember the story, we don't have to go through it all, where they come into the room and they want to get down to the very front and the main, you know, seats in the house. And the Lord says, don't do that. Because somebody else higher up from you is going to come in, they're going to walk over and say, hey, get up and give this guy your seat. You know, it'd be better if you'd sit back there and they come in and say, hey, come here. Well, you don't want way back here and bring you up here. Now, don't strive for that. You know, be willing to be humble and serving the Lord. So not having that type of attitude. Another, not only sinful or those who strive for highest positions and so forth, but who indulge in destructive criticism. We talked about the constructive criticism and the destructive criticism. Things are wrong. Things need to be changed or something done. Nothing wrong with going to the person who can deal with that, that can help out, and with the right attitude, and maybe even an attitude of, I can help straighten that out or help do that, whatever the case may be. But the idea of constructive is building, destructive is tearing down. And we can do without the destructive attitude. Like one person said, some are happy in serving the Lord, and some seem to be happiest when criticizing those who are serving the Lord. Amen. And so, do what God would have you to do. Do it with a humble mind, a humble heart, desire to build and strengthen and to live your life in a pure fashion, in a way that glorifies the Lord. So sinful life, striving for higher positions, destructive criticism, and number four, it can't be done attitude. And I think that's where we finished up last week. Don't be a pessimist, be an optimist. You just can't do it anymore in this out here. It's 2017 and it's so bad out there. Folks, it's not anywhere near as bad in the United States as it was in Israel, Jerusalem, and that time back in the Old Testament times. I mean, they had a rough back there. And we have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. We've been commissioned by the Lord to go into the world, and we certainly can do that. And you remember what the Lord said in Matthew 28. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or unto the end of the age. And so, yes, we can do it. We talked about the fact the church is likened to the body of Christ, and is also likened to the building of Christ. All right, so we wouldn't have been commissioned to go into the world and to preach the gospel, and he would not have said, the fields are white unto harvest, and he would not have said, I will go with you if it couldn't be done. I just, I'd be crazy. It can be, and we need to be seeking to do God's will. Be not weary in that well-doing. That brings us to, tonight to number 5, and mentioned to you, I think, last Wednesday night, church could do without stingy people. Now, this is true. It's always been true. It's a fact that there are, there is and always will be givers and takers. That's just the way it is. Some people are givers, and some people are just takers. And we got, you know, one of the sad things about raising children, when people raise children, not to be givers. How do you teach them to do that? You teach them by saying, listen, it's your job to take out the trash. Everybody cleans their own bedroom. You need to do this. You need to do that. What are you teaching? Teaching them to give of themselves, to do whatever it is you want them to do. And the person that has it all given to them, guess what they're going to do when they grow up? Yeah, our welfare systems are filled up with it. All that kind of stuff's going on. People looking to get something for nothing. They are takers. And then there is givers. And the givers don't mind giving. They love to give. They want to be a part of that giving process. They don't want to be taken, but they like to give. Yeah, I don't mind the taxes. I'm kind of saying that tongue in cheek. But I guess if I'm going to have to be taxed, we'll put it that way. When I have to be taxed, that's okay if the money's used. But I just burns me up to pay the taxes and then watch it being wasted on absolutely worthless, useless things and so forth. And so we need to train up our children. We need to be that kind of person. As it is in every church, you take a certain group of people out. The electric bill wouldn't be paid. The air conditioner wouldn't be running tonight. On and on and on. Things wouldn't get done because there are groups of people, they understand the Bible teaching of tithe, give 10% of the gross year income to the Lord. They understand that missions, sending people out in the world, and so they want to support that program. That's God's program. The tithe is for the church itself, and that's God's program to take care of it. And those who do that, those who give in that way, they further the work of God. And then there's those who are just takers. They don't get involved into that. And so the church could do without stingy people. We all need to be like the Lord. For God so loved the world, He gave. And gave. And gave. He's a giving God. And if you want to be Christ-like, you got to be a giver. You got not a taker. All of us need help. I'm not talking about that. Every one of us in some form or fashion needs the help of another person. And most givers even hate to ask somebody else for that help, you know. But we all need that. But we need to be givers. And so, don't be a stingy Christian with your time, your talent, and your treasure as well. Then number 6, the church could do without lazy people. Lazy people. Now, I doubt if we have a problem with that in this group here. One of the reasons why you're here, because you get up and go and so forth. But certainly in the church, we don't want to be a lazy person. We don't want to be a part of the problem, a part of the answer. We want to be that part where we step out and serve the Lord in whatever fashion He wants us to serve Him. Be proactive, in other words. Faith works, and that's what James meant. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And we've been in arguments about what he meant there and how he was the opposite of Paul. He wasn't saying you get saved by works. And Paul's saying you get saved by faith. James knows well that you're saved by faith, period. But the faith that saves certainly ought to work or serve. And so he tried to teach that to us. And so don't be a lazy person. I read a statement made one time. God gives us heads to think and seats to set. Heads you win and tails you lose. You get that? Need to use your head. But you got to get off your seat too, you know, and serve and be what God would have you to be. I read a story about an ox and a mule, and the ox decided one day that when the farmer come out as he always would, and so out of the barn would come the ox and the mule, and they'd go over a ways out into the field and work through the day. But one day the ox decided that he wouldn't work. So he stayed in the barn. And that night, finally, as the sun was beginning, here come the mule slowly into the barn. And so the ox asking, did the boss say anything about my not working today? And the mule said, no. I guess he said, nay. But he's no, he didn't say anything. He said, however, he did stop in town and talk to the butcher for a while. So, might have ox in the freezer before long. The fact is, all of us have, what do you call it? We have a potential. We all have a potential. Do I measure up to my potential? I don't know that I do. I don't know where you feel about your life and your potential, but everybody has a potential. In other words, everybody has something that God wants for your life. Can I measure up to that potential, what God would have for me? And it's kind of like the Quaker who bought the cow and he said, there's a lot of potential here. He said, I can get the milk to drink and we can get butter and so forth. He says, there's a lot of potential in having that cow. But the first time he milked the cow, he just got the milk in the bucket and the cow just swatted him right in the face. He fell over, kicked the bucket over, lost the milk. And he didn't think a lot about that, you know, just that happened. But then the next day and he milked the cow and this time the cow kicked the bucket over himself. And this went on for a week or so, and so the farmer said, now, cow, thou knowest that I am a Quaker and cannot strike ye. But he said, I can sell you to a Baptist who'll beat the devil out of you. You know, you need to realize God has a potential. He don't want you to be lazy. God wants you to serve him. Look what all that he has certainly done for you and me. Then don't be number seven, I guess, would be, don't be overly sensitive people. This plague has plagued the church for time and eternity. Oversensitive people. Well, you know, we joke around and they didn't even shake my hand. I think it was a song out or something like that. Somebody sang and used that tone. They didn't take my hand. You know, overly sensitive. Somebody didn't talk to me. Somebody said something to me and I just don't like the tone of their voice when they said it, or on and on and on. You know, kind of overly sensitive about these things. I call them brother and sister hurt feelings. You know? Yeah, you got to walk on eggshells. You heard that term. You got to walk on those eggshells around them, because you may say something, not say something. You may look at them in the wrong way, you know, or whatever. And they're just kind of, they're waiting for somebody to say or do something for them to get upset about. And so brother and sister hurt feelings. They can be found anywhere. And as I said, it's kind of plagued the church over the many years. Because I've been at this pastoring 35, 40 years, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking about, but for a long time. And every church, different people, different situations, listening to other pastors talk about problems. They may not mention names, or I wouldn't even know if they did, but I had this problem. So, and a lot of it is about somebody got their feelings hurt about something, you know, whatever that might be. And so, some people, you talk to some people, they say, well, I haven't been to church, you know, I've knocked on doors, talked to people, I haven't been to church for 20 years, 25 years. Well, why not? Well, I'm a Christian, and I know the Lord, and I know what it means to be saved, but I was in a church, and somebody said this, or something happened there, something was done, and I got my feelings hurt. I just think about this, because you stick around here, you'll get your feelings hurt. I'll make sure of it. I tell people, I open my mouth up so much when because I'm the preacher and I'm the teacher. I'm running my mouth off so much, I'm bound to hurt somebody's feelings or say something I shouldn't have said or done whatever, you know, because I'm using this mouth all the time. And I don't mean to. I have no desire to hurt anybody. I only want to be a help. I only want to build. Anything I bend over back, anything I can do. But, and hopefully that'd be true for you as well, but the fact is, people get hurt. And I need to stop and think about this. And you stop and think about it tonight. One day when Christ asked us, why didn't we obey him, such as this person here, hadn't been in church for 20, 25, why didn't you obey, why didn't you live and support my program, which is the local church? Most of the New Testament is written to the local church. That God works through the local church. And the Lord's, one day we're going to stand before the Lord, give an account for the deeds done in the body, good or bad. Can you imagine walking up to the Lord and the Lord asks, well, why didn't you attend church? Why didn't you serve and live and be a part of my program? And you said, you kind of look up and you say, because my feelings were hurt. And just as you look up, you notice the scars from the crown of thorns. And you say, well, I don't know. And he says, now wait a minute. And then you notice the nails in the hand. And then you drop your eyes down. And when you drop your eyes down, guess what you see? You see the nail prints in his feet. You got hurt feelings? My goodness, look what Jesus did for us. And we're worried about hurt feelings. Get over it. Think maybe that person had a bad day today. Maybe something else happened over here, but you're the guy who got kind of the short answer to it. And it's not that they got anything against you. It's just, this just happened, and then, you know, people are people. Love one another. There's two words that you need to be thankful for as a Christian. Mercy and grace. You want to be like Christ? Show mercy and grace. When people don't do what they should do in their actions toward you, show mercy. And show grace. So, be careful about that oversensitivity. We don't want to be that kind of person. We all get our feelings hurt. course, the Lord tried to get us out of that. Paul preached against it. He said, you're dead in Christ. You know, you can take a dead body laying on the floor and just cuss them out. Kick them a few times. You know what? It won't mean a thing. Why? Because they're dead. And the Lord said, be dead in Christ. So don't be careful about the hurt feelings. We all get them. Get over it. Go on and serve the Lord. Just think what He has done for us. Number 8, and close. Unfaithful people. One thing that the church can do without when it comes to people is unfaithful people. You know what a good witness is? The Bible teaches us we're to be witnesses. And you know what a good witness is? A good witness is a faithful witness. Matter of fact, if you got on the stand at a trial and the lawyer talks to you, he's going to make sure what? You're saying the same story and you're saying it the same way over and over again. They call you to the trial, you're going to show up. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. Being faithful. We are to be a witness for Christ. We need to be faithful if we're going to do that. There are people who say, well, I can't preach, or I can't teach, or I can't sing. That might all be true. I just said that for myself. I can't do any of those, but you know what? I can be faithful. I can be faithful. I can do that. Yeah, you know, I lead the choir over here. Act like I know what I'm doing. You know how many classes I had in choir leading? None. No class. You noticed? I thought you said you noticed her, but that hurt my feelings. I want to tell you. We did have music leading for like a little short class of it. It wasn't long, but you know when I first led music. Right here, Fellowship Baptist Church. Well, we didn't have a music leader. I did that. Am I good at it? I always told people, you know, I'm average. I'm of average height, average weight. A little bit above average in looks, but average looks. Average. There is nothing that I get a little envious of people that are really good at something, you know. I mean, I can't stand Brother Fleener. He's good at so many things. I'm just average, yeah. He said, can you do this? Yeah. Not good at it, but yeah, I can do it, you know. I'm average. I was average. Well, you'll watch people do things and they'll say, wow, man, that she's good or he's good at that. Couldn't say that about me. Average. But I'll tell you one thing I can be. I can be faithful. You know, I can get here on time. I can get up and do whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. And I'll do my best at doing it. Might not be very good, but I can be what? Faithful at doing it anyway. And God's work needs faithfulness more than anything. We had my first church. I started a church right out of Bible college and pastored it for 7 years. And I think when I resigned and left, they'd run about 125, somewhere between 125 and 50. You know how it is, fluctuates, but something like that. And I had a dear little old lady. I think I was the one that led her to the Lord. Her name was Mrs. Yates, and she was about that tall. She's about as wide as she was tall, because she wasn't very tall. But she wasn't a very big woman. And she was an older lady. Of course, I was a lot younger back then, so probably she looked older than she might look today. But Mrs. Yates, she's just a kind little lady, and we'd go all the way out over to another town, pick her up, bring her to church and so forth. And then another lady over there got saved or started coming to church and she'd pick her up and so forth. But you know, Mrs. Yates would do anything you want her to do. What, how good was she? Well, not all that good at any particular thing. But buddy, she'd be there. We did something in the church that we don't do it here, but we clean, and I had the deacons or and the trustees, you know, the leaders, and every one of them would take a, it's your turn this week and your week, and they'd put the name, and I took it, and I had an associate there, Steve Snell, folks, and he'd take 1 week and then the other guy, but that would be it, and you either clean it yourself or get help. Of course, everybody wanted to get help. And so what you do is, I'd say, you know, maybe I'd get up, I'd say, well, I got cleaning this week, and if you want to stay in this church, be here, you know, on a certain night. No, I'd say, yeah, I got cleaning this week, my wife and I, anybody can help out and so forth. I always had a pretty good group, and I think everybody did, but Mrs. Yates, if you'd be there. She'd find out if so-and-so is going to come and, you know, we could come and help clean. What can she do? She can be faithful. What a blessing. I can't remember some of those people's name, but I can remember Mrs. Yates' name. It's just a faithful lady. And you know what? I think God's the same way. He remembers our faithfulness. Probably as much as anything. It's just being faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful. And the idea of the crown of life is there's going to be persecution, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be things that's not good. Maybe in our case, it's timely-wise, it's not the best time, whatever, but that's when it is, and so I'm just going to be there. And I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to support the program. I've always been the attitude, I will support the program. I might not particularly care about what it is that's doing, but if at all possible, I will be there. I will support that program. And I think that's what God wants. You know what? Think about this. We all depend on the faithful, don't we? You ever think, you know, so-and-so's never around. The last time I asked them to do something, they didn't show up. Da, 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 da. I think I'll just ask them again. This is very important. No. Why would you do that? You know, I'm going to find somebody that I can depend on, right? Being dependable. Being faithful. We depend on the faithful. And by the way, that's true of business or government or schools, hospitals, churches. We depend on the faithful. You can turn if you like. You don't have to. But Proverbs 20. Thinking about faithfulness. And I thought this was a good verse. Proverbs 20. And verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. People brag about what they can do and all that. Yeah, have you ever been around somebody who brag about all that they can do, but you can never get them to do it? Yeah. Oh, I do this, I do that. Oh, good. We got this going on. Can you come help? And then they never show up, you know. Fact is, they could be excellent at it, but if they don't show up, it doesn't do anybody a bit of good. We need those faithful people, people that can be relied upon. So, in conclusion, 5 minutes, 5 to 8. The fact of the matter is that the church cannot do without anyone. We need everyone. I set up here on Sundays and I kind of, best I can, kind of count through and see. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord says, you know, David did that. I'm not sure. Maybe that's not a good thing. But you're just kind of counting up how many folks you have. And I'm not trying to get the exact number. I'm thinking who missed, you know. And I know people have reasons, but that we need everybody. I don't know whether church. I think a few times over the years we've got everybody that normally comes. They're all one Sunday. What a blessing that is. And my wife said to me last night when she came in, said, we had 9 ladies tonight. She said, and we had a great time. She said, the study was good. They seemed to enjoy the fellowship, the food, all that. And she said, and here's what she said. She said, and you know, when you have a good group, a large group of people, it's just better. You know, and it is. You all know that. We've all planned something and a bunch of people we thought would come, they didn't come. And so it's kind of, we still had a good time, but my, how much better been when we had everybody involved. But so everybody's needed. But it's one thing we don't need. We don't need people just walking disorderly because they become the enemy of the church. And that's what he says here in Philippians 3, verse 18, they walk, for many walk of whom I have told you often, now tell you, even weeping. He said, this actually makes me weep. It makes me cry when I think about it, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. And then he went on to say, for our conversation is in heaven. Conversation there means citizenship. You know, don't get stuck down here. Think about what's coming one day and serve the Lord down here, because one day you stand before Him. But the enemy of the church is the enemy of the cross, and the enemy of the church and the cross is the enemy of Christ, and it's Christ who died on that cross and was resurrected for the church. So I don't want to be an enemy of the cross. I want to be a faithful servant of the Savior who died on that cross. Each person makes up a member of the body, and each person coming together make up a part of the building. People need the Lord, and they need to see the Lord in me and you. And you, that makes up the church, people need to see Christ in us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Not just the Lord, we've went through this study, but God, how's it going to affect us in our lives? We don't want to be that kind of person that the church could do without. We want to be the type of person that can be a blessing and a help in the body and the building of Christ. So may that be true in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.